Much, Michael, really enjoyed that, and may God bless you for singing for us. Now, our brother Andrew's back tonight again, Andrew Stewart, and I'm going to hand the meeting over to him now and ask him to bring God's message. So let's listen up well and hear what the Lord has to say to us through his word at this time. Andrew.
It's great to be back, and I have to say that you sang even better tonight. You pulled out all the stops. I don't know what you had at dinner time, but whatever it was, it worked. And that was tremendous singing. Now, again, I brought my friend with me. And I was going home today in the car, and he told me that the boys and girls were excellent, but he said some of the parents, they weren't really listening. They were sleeping and dozing off. So I brought him again tonight, but he's not really here for the boys and girls. He's here to keep an eye on the mums and dads, so he can sit there, and Clive can let me know on the way home who was listening, and then I'll phone the Reverend Higginson and tell him who needs a wee word or who needs a call or a visit. Okay, so we're going to bring God's word tonight, and we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes and ask the Lord to bless his word to our heart. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for the boys and girls and all that they have sang and read. We thank you for your goodness to us. We bless thee for the breath in our body. We thank you, O God, for your written word. We thank thee, Father, that it leads us and takes us to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Father, for your dear Son. We thank thee for a church and a place that preaches the gospel. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the gospel. And there is good news that men and women and boys and girls can be saved from their sin, and they can know heaven as their home, Christ as their Savior, and God as their Father. O God, I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of God. I pray that you'll fill me, the speaker, Father, with the Spirit of God. I pray, O God, that you'll give ears, that people would hear, Father. We acknowledge that many have sat under the word before, but we pray that it would be a quick word tonight, that it would be a living word that would pierce the hearts of boys and girls and mums and dads. And Father, that all the glory and honor would be ascribed to the Lamb, for he alone is worthy. We offer prayer. I open my mouth now, and I pray that you would fill it. We know that you cannot break a promise, and we just offer prayer in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, I don't know if you've ever made a promise to your mum or your dad or your granny or your granda. Maybe you've made a promise like this, because I know the football's on at the minute. And maybe you've says, "Mum, please, let me stay up and see the rest of the match. And I promise on Saturday I'll clean my room." Or you've made a promise, maybe you're watching something on television and your mum says, "Go to bed." And you say, "Mum, I promise I'll do all my homework first thing on Saturday morning." But it comes to Saturday, and the weather's good, and the bike's looking nice and shiny and clean, and you just take it out for a spin, or some friends come to your house, and all of a sudden you forget about the promise that you had made. And sometimes we break our promises, but boys and girls, this book, the Bible, is full of God's promises. And God cannot break his promises. Now, one of the promises in God's word is, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And God's promised that if we turn from our sin and believe in Jesus Christ, we would be saved. He's promised to those that are Christians, he said he would never leave us, or he'd never forsake us. He has promised that he would supply all our need. And boys and girls, God can't break his promise. And they're wonderful promises. But there's other promises in God's word that he can't break. And maybe they're not so nice to hear. But boys and girls, God promises to punish sin. Now I have a wee slide with me, and I hope you will remember this. God must and God will punish sin. Boys and girls, God promises in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And he promises that the soul that sins will die an eternal death in hell. And boys and girls, God must and will punish sin. Every single sin that has ever been committed and will ever be committed, God must and will punish it. every lie, every bad word, every breaking of God's day. He will punish every single sin. See, some people think that God will overlook some sin. Well, boys and girls, if God doesn't punish sin, He's not God. But God must and will punish sin. And boys and girls and mums and dads, God punishes sin ultimately in two places. Either Jesus Christ on the cross takes the punishment for your sin, which is death. Or boys and girls and mums and dads, if you do not turn from your sin and trust the Savior, you yourself, in your body, in your mind, in your soul, forever in hell will take the punishment for your sin. See, boys and girls and mums and dads, God must and God will punish every single sin because He can't break His promise. Now, tonight, we're going to learn in the Bible about a promise, or another word for the promise in the Bible is a covenant. And we're going to learn about a promise, and boys and girls, it was made 20 years before it was kept. 20 whole years. But the story starts off with a wee boy, and he was 5 years of age. Is there anybody that's 5 years of age in here this morning? Some people are this evening. Some people are 5 years of age. Well, boys and girls, this wee boy, he had a famous dad. His dad was famous. His dad was the Prince of Israel. But his granddad, well, he was even more famous because his granddad was... He was the king of Israel. And his name was Saul. And this young boy's name was Mephibosheth. And he was 5 years old. Well, boys and girls, there was one day and the children of Israel, they were fighting with the Philistines. And boys and girls, something sad happened. Mephibosheth's dad and granda, they died. They died in the battle. And this wee boy, in one day, he lost his dad and he lost his granda. But boys and girls, that's not all. Because in Bible times, when a king had died, well, the new king, what he did is he came in and he killed all the old king's family. Just in case they would want to become king. And this was bad news for this wee boy. Because he was a grandson of Saul. And boys and girls, that meant bad news for him. He could have been killed. But the Bible tells me that he had a nanny. He had a nurse that looked after him. Someone that looked after him. And she knew this is what would happen. And she was afraid. She said, oh, Saul's dead and Jonathan's dead. And they're going to come and kill Mephibosheth. We need to go away and hide. So boys and girls, he was only 5. He couldn't run that hard. So she picked him up. She started to run with him. But the Bible tells me that he fell. He fell, boys and girls. And the Bible says that he was lame on both his feet. What an awful day. His dad had died. His granda had died. And now he had fell and he couldn't walk right. And he had to go away and hide. What a terrible day for Mephibosheth. He was only 5 years old. Imagine that all happening in one day. And boys and girls, he could never walk the same again. And this reminds me, boys and girls, of Adam. Because the Bible tells me that Adam, he used to walk with God and talk with God in the Garden of Eden. But Adam disobeyed God. He sinned. And he ate the fruit. He ate the fruit. And boys and girls, when he ate the fruit, the first thing that happened was fear came in. Fear in his heart. And no longer could he walk with God. In fact, he ran away from God because sin had come into his heart and into his life. And boys and girls, because of Adam's sin, you and I and everyone in here were born sinners. We're born sinners. And with a sinful heart, that's why we do bad things. That's why we tell lies. That's why we're cheeky to our mums or our teachers. That's why we dishonor God's day and maybe take God's name in vain, because we are born with a sinful heart. And boys and girls, remember that God must and will punish sin. So that's not good news, because we're born sinners and with a sinful heart and we do sinful things and God must punish sin. This is why we need to be saved. Some people think being a Christian's an option. Oh, and there's people, they go to church on a Sunday and, well, we don't go to church on a Sunday. We sit and watch TV. That's an option. Boys and girls and mums and dads, you need to be saved. You must be saved. Because God will and must punish sin. But the good news is you can be saved. Now, some time had passed, and God had promised that a young lad who looked after sheep was going to be king. Can anyone tell me the young lad, the name of the young boy who looked after sheep that God, that boy there, David, that's exactly right. And David was a shepherd boy. Timmy will not sit up there. He can sit down there. But God had promised that David was going to be king. And God never breaks his promise. And David was king, boys and girls. David was made king. And all the people were happy. King David. And there he was king, boys and girls. And the Bible says that there he was one day and he was sitting on his throne. And I don't know why, but he started to think about a promise he had made. A promise from 20 years ago. A promise he made with his best friend. Who's got a best friend? Who's got a best friend? I have a best friend. Everyone's got a best friend. Someone you really love to play with. And you play with them at school and all. And you like to chat to them. Well, boys and girls, David had a best friend. And his best friend was Jonathan. Jonathan. And David, when he was a shepherd boy, he used to be in the palace and he played a harp for King Saul when he got angry. And Saul, boys and girls, well, he started to be jealous of David. And then his sin grew from jealousy to hatred. That's how sin starts. Maybe just a small sin. Maybe you just think one time you'll tell a wee small lie to your teacher about your homework. And then, boys and girls, it's not long till you're telling bigger and bigger and bigger lies. But Saul started to hate David, and then one day he wanted to kill David. So he was sitting with a spear. And he lifted the spear and he seen David. Oh, I hate him. I hate him. I want to kill him. And he took the spear and he threw it at David, and David, and he ran. He ran out of the palace. And Saul done it again, boys and girls, and David thought, I can't stay here, it's too dangerous. But before David went away, he made a promise or a covenant with Jonathan. And this was the promise he made. They promised, boys and girls, that if one died, the one that was alive would look after the dead person's family. So, if Jonathan died, David would look after Jonathan's family. But if David died, Jonathan would look after David's family. And that was the promise they had made. And that's the promise King David had remembered from 20 years ago. I remember the promise. I promised I would look after Jonathan's family. And he called the servants and he says, is there anyone, in King Saul's house that I can show kindness to? The servants started to think, well, there's one man and he might know. And his name is Ziba. Ziba. His name was Ziba. And he called Ziba and he says, are you Ziba? He says, yes, I'm he. He says, well, Ziba, is there anyone of Saul's house that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Ziba, right, let me think. No, they're dead. No, they're dead. No, he's dead. There's one. He's lame on both his feet, but he lives in Lodabar. You know, boys and girls, King David didn't go, ach, he's lame. He can't walk. I don't want him. I don't need him. Ach, no. Get someone else that can walk right and looks proper and is well dressed. And I want him to come to the palace. Didn't matter to King David. Because the promise was that he would look after any of the family. So the Bible says that King David, he sent the servants to go get Mephibosheth. So off they went down to Lodabar, a place that was dry, it was a wilderness. And King David's servants came down and I can see them. And they come to the door and go, hello, it's King David's servants. He's found me. He's going to kill me because he's the new king and I'm going to die. You have to come with us to the palace. You come with us to the palace. The king wants to see you. Oh, Mephibosheth. He couldn't run away. Remember, he had bad feet. What could he do? He couldn't do anything. And he had to go to the palace. And boys and girls, I can see him. Comes into King David and he probably had a couple of these and he probably couldn't walk too well, and well, I'm sure he was really afraid. And the Bible says when he came in, boys and girls, and he can hardly walk, the Bible says he fell on his face before the king and he bowed down before the king, and I'm sure his hands were like my hands. He afraid the king was going to kill him because he was of the other king's family. Well, boys and girls, David said one word to him. He said, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth answered, behold thy servant. And I'm sure Mephibosheth, he thought, well, what's the next word? Is he going to say to me, I sentence you to death, take off his head? But you know, I'm sure David saw him shaking. And I'm sure David heard his voice tremble. You know what David said to him? Lovely words. He said, fear not. Fear not, for I surely will show thee kindness today for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And today I'm going to give you back all the land of your father, your grandfather Saul. And you're going to come and you're going to eat at my table, Mephibosheth. And you're going to eat my bread. And see, Ziba, he's going to be your servant. And you see, his servants and his sons, they're going to look and work the fields so you have food. And you're going to be like my son. You know, boys and girls, David showed Mephibosheth kindness. The Bible says the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. It wasn't because there was anything special about Mephibosheth. It wasn't because he was a good lad or a great lad. But David showed him kindness because of Jonathan's sake. And you know, boys and girls and mums and dads, God can show you and me kindness because of another's sake. Because of another's sake, another promise, a greater promise. Boys and girls, God can show you and me kindness. And God can forgive our sin, because remember, God must and will punish sin, but he can forgive sin. He can't overlook it, but God can forgive sin because of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross and he took the punishment for sin. You see, all sin has to be punished. And he really died. He didn't faint. He didn't pass out. But he really did die and he was buried for 3 days. But you know what, boys and girls? He's not in the tomb. He's alive. He's in heaven. And boys and girls, God can show you and me kindness because of Jesus Christ. And we deserve, because we're sinners, we deserve God's punishment. Do you know that? We deserve eternal death. Mom and Dad, Granny and Granda, you deserve eternal death. But God can show you kindness today because of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You might have come in a sinner, but you can go out, and because of Christ, all of heaven can be yours because of Jesus. You can be a son or a daughter of the King of Kings because of Jesus. You can have every single sin washed away because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, mums and dads, that's the gospel. It's not because of who you are or what you can do, but it's because of another's sake. Christ. Hallelujah. It's because of Jesus that he died and he rose again. And boys and girls and mums and dads, you can have it all because of Christ. Eternal life. But yet, when I thought of this story, I thought of King David. And you know, King David, he didn't know about Mephibosheth. He didn't know where he lived. He didn't know nothing about him. He had to be told about Mephibosheth. But the Bible tells me about the Lord. And he says, I knew thee when thou wast in the wilderness. And boys and girls and mums and dads, God doesn't need me to tell him about you. Because he knows all about you already. He knows your thoughts, he knows your deeds, he knows your words, he knows what you do in your house, in your living room, in your bedroom, he knows what you do down the street, he knows everything about you. But even though he knows all that, and all the wrong we do and say, he still wants to show us kindness because of Jesus' sake. You might say, well, how can I know this kindness? How can I know that heaven is my home, that Christ is my Savior, that all my sins are forgiven, that God is my Father? Well, it's the same two words as this morning. See, the gospel has never changed. We must turn from sin and trust the Savior. You might say, well, how do I trust Jesus Christ? You call upon him in prayer. And you believe that he died for you, and you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Take away my sin. And boys and girls, he's promised to save you. And remember, this God, he can't break a promise. Wonder, will you trust him tonight? Wonder, will you be saved? Will you come to the Savior and make no delay? Here in his word, he has shown us the way. I'm here as God's servant. And maybe you're a boy or girl, and maybe you've never asked the Lord to be your Savior. And maybe you want to know more about being saved and to have Christ as your Savior. Well, you can come and speak to me at the end. And I'll open the Bible and I'll point you to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe talk to your minister or your Sunday school teacher. But this would be a great day if you would turn from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Mother and father, it's the same gospel for the child as it is for the oldest. There's no difference, but God can show you kindness and goodness for Jesus Christ's sake. I trust that you'll come to him and you'll not walk out those doors without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's just bow our heads and still our hearts in the presence of the Lord. Maybe God has been speaking to you this evening, maybe throughout the course of this day or over a period of time, and here you are, maybe a boy or a girl or a mum or dad, and you realize that yes, there's a Savior that you need to trust. You can trust him tonight, as her brother said, just by turning and embracing him and putting your faith and trust in him. Let's just pray together and ask the Lord's blessing upon the word that's gone forth. Father, we thank thee tonight, O God, for the living word of God. We thank thee that thy word is truth and it's forever settled in heaven. We bless thee, Lord, that thy word is like good seed. And O God, we pray tonight that thou wilt sow the seed of the word of God deep within hearts. We pray, Lord, for every boy and for every girl, for every mum and dad and maybe grandparent too, and for every family that's represented. And O God, we thank thee for this story of Mephibosheth. We bless thee, Father God, that those who are strangers can be brought in. Those, O God, whose lives have been wrecked and ruined by sin can be redeemed and changed. We thank thee, Lord, for the great inheritance promised for those who trust the Savior. We thank thee, Lord, for the great plan of salvation, how that God sent his Son to die upon a cross, take our sin and our punishment, that we might be set free and enter into heaven one day itself. Write thy word upon hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for help given and for thy presence amongst us and for the stillness in this meeting. And grant, O God, that thy name would be glorified as children and grown-ups too put their faith in the Savior and enter into a life of service for the Master. Hear us, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.